the guy.
Take it.
I don't need it.
Very nice hat.
You like it?
I once knew the games into the guys playing.
Playing a space cowboy in some back room.
Finish the game! No!
Kill him.
You are about to experience.
I can't play these video games.
I once knew the games into the guys playing.
I can't play these video games.
Games and More Entertainment Radio.
And we're back!
This is Games and More Entertainment Radio number 78. I'm C4.
And I'm Kobar.
That is such a good way to start the show. I swear to God, we gotta not forget that anymore. That's the best. That is the best way to start the show. I'm convinced. Absolutely. And you know what? I think we fixed all of our damn audio problems, because no, we did not record episode 76 in the bathroom. Alright? There was a funky echo that everybody let me know about right away, and there was nothing I could do. When I went to go edit it, and I'm playing it back, it was really, really bad. It was worse than it sounded. Mm-hmm. The final product came out a lot better, but it was still, it really sounded like we were in the damn bathroom. And I ended up having to cut the right channel and duplicate the left channel because they met, so it would match, and then just tell it was stereo, and it still sounded really bad. And I think I know what the problem was. It was because I was playing EverQuest, and I had EverQuest running in, like, my trader was on.
Right.
And thanks to Creative Labs and their screwballness, you know, it turns on all that weird EAX enhanced crap.
Right.
And I think that's what it was, is I had it set to, I don't even have their crap installed. I don't, the software's not there, you know? It's just like the basic driver. You know, there's not the crazy effects and all that shit. There's nothing on this machine that's that at all. It just does that.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you, Creative Labs. I love you guys. And then, the one before that, you know, on 75 with Wolf, you couldn't understand a damn word he was saying. You know, I mean.
You know when your head gets hot?
Yeah. It was just so hard to hear him because the connection to China was so bad that it was hard
to understand him even when
you hear it. I know, it was real bad, and I apologize for the terrible, terrible audio quality of the last couple shows. I'm sure they all kind of suck anyway, but these last couple were worse than the rest. And then we did a little bonus episode 77, which I thought was actually pretty cool because, you know, we mentioned it before that we were going to do it at some point. And never really got around to it.
I got left out of the loop.
You know what happened? We did it the day, I was off the day after today, right, last week, you know, and which is unusual. I'm usually at work tomorrow, last week.
And I was just sitting at home.
I didn't even, it's honest to God, what happened was this. I was talking about it with, I did it with Air and Mobile Digit.
Right.
And we were just sitting around, kind of talking about the idea, because one of them asked me, you know, hey, what about that EQ2 show?
Mm-hmm.
And I said, yeah, we're going to get around to it, blah, blah, blah. We'll have to get you guys on. And we were all right there.
Yeah, I'm just giving you shit.
I know. And I was kind of bummed. I really thought, man, that would have been perfect. But, you know, as it was, I couldn't. You would have had to drive over here anyway because we had two people on the phone. And it actually came out nice and clear. So for all the EverQuest 2 fans and MMORPG fans, we got the audio deal straightened out. Hopefully this one here, 78, will come out nice and clear, though. So it won't suffer from the, I mean, it was bad. The last couple, it was painful to have to listen to that. And I hate listening to myself talk so much anyway. And it sucks because I had to listen to myself talk extra this week. But, so if anybody's wondering where episode 77 went, it's not going to be one of the ones that streams because we've discovered that people don't like to listen to MMORPG stuff, you know, all the time.
Right.
They would rather hear about, you know, some other things, you know, not everybody wants to play EverQuest, not everybody
all
wants to play
ghetto regular games.
So, yeah. Exactly, yeah. We can talk about bad crap all day long, that's just fine with me. If that's what you guys want to hear about, great, you know. So, that's on the site.
Mm-hmm.
77 will be on the site. It's up there now, it has been for like a day, and by the time this airs, it'll be like 4 days it's been on the site. So if you're wondering what happened to it, and, you know, you're listening to us say 78 now, that's what the deal is with that. You can still catch us at it's www.hwhq.com and streaming on Saturdays at 3:30 p.m. That's Pacific time, though.
Right.
On DDP Hack Radio at benrev.com and Rant Radio at rantradio.com. Now, on with the good stuff. We've got a little bit of information here first, and then we've got some serious emails to go through, some nice long ones here, helping us through these dark times, thankfully. Somebody cares enough to write and then save our asses. So, but we do have a few things ahead of time, though. Hunter picked up a Nintendo DS.
That thing actually really surprised me at how cool it is.
Me too.
I mean, I saw a couple in the stores and stuff, all scratched to hell and all messed up and whatnot, but seeing one nice and fresh out of the box, and it's actually very comfortable.
It is.
A lot more comfortable than the SP is.
Yeah.
The buttons are a little small.
Yeah, I think we even mentioned that before, too, that we thought they were a little bit small. Mm-hmm. And now that I've had a hands-on on the thing where it's not mounted to something, right, I get a better feel for it.
Most definitely.
You know, when you handed it to me and you said, wow, it feels better, and I thought, holy crap, my hand didn't cramp up. When I grabbed the SP, my hands kind of cramp up, and I think it's because it's so not wide that I have to bend my wrists back to hold it, you know, so I can hit all the buttons.
Granted, the smaller size does make it pocketable better.
Yes.
But
this thing is small, though.
Well, yeah, it's not small, but it's...
It's pretty small.
It's pretty small for what it does.
That too.
So is the PSP.
That too. And the cartridges are dinky.
Oh, yeah.
They're like just a little bit bigger than like an SD card.
Yeah, they're like one of those memory cards for phones and stuff. They're like pretty much that size.
Not that, no. The little... Oh, my God. No.
It was like half an inch by half an inch. It was tiny.
No, it was bigger than that. You're tripping. It was bigger than an SD card for your digital camera.
Okay.
It's bigger than that, but it's still really, really tiny. And Hunter had, you know, what did he have? Donna Souls for the GBA.
Right.
With him, and the size comparison is nuts. I couldn't believe how small the cartridges are.
And it's also cool that you can have one of each in your DS at
the
time.
Yeah, when he turned it on, it showed like a clock on the top and like a calendar, but then it had like a menu on the bottom. Which one of these do you want to play?
Right.
Which is handy. I like leaving the game in there, and if I'm playing two games, hey. Bring it on.
Yeah.
And you know what else blew my mind? He had the Spider-Man game. Mm-hmm. Now everybody's going, oh, God. And I can't explain Hunter's freaky addiction to Spider-Man games.
And bad games in general.
So he does have this thing for a magnet for the 4 out of 10 game, you know. I don't know what it is, but he's got some kind of addiction to Spider-Man. And so he goes out and he buys like every Spider-Man game he possibly can. He loves it stuff, you know, but... They're not very good a lot of the time, you know.
Why?
So he was,
and luckily for him, Spider-Man 2 for the consoles were supposed to be pretty damn good.
But he doesn't have a console anymore, so he's kind of in bad shape. Yeah, I know.
The one he doesn't have
is the good one. Exactly. I'm gonna have to have a little talk with him or something. I don't know. Because actually, I think he did say that he picked up a GameCube for his kids recently. So I'll have to let him know how good that Spider-Man 2 is. It's actually pretty fun, so he might like it. It might be right up his alley, but. He suffers from Evercrack. So I know he's not playing a whole lot of anything, which blows my mind that he even bought the damn DS, you know, but I think it was Spider-Man that broke him, is like what I really think it was. I mean, he has no reason to play that thing other than to check out this Spider-Man game, so. I'll have to give him a call later tonight.
I will say that seeing it in action a little bit and holding it, as you said, not mounted and not all scratched up and whatnot, it is... It was a lot better than I thought it was going to be.
I like it.
Yeah.
I like it a lot more than I thought I did at first. I really wasn't too impressed. It was kind of, meh, whatever.
Looking at the ones in the stores, you have to be very careful about scratching up your screen.
Yeah, they do
they
get
were
tore up.
Bad. Now, I'm sure you have some 14-year-old kid with the stylus going, ah!
Yeah.
As hard as he can.
Yeah.
Just so he can screw up the store's mom.
Yeah, exactly.
But, still, those things got... Wore up bad.
They did.
So
they did.
If you get one, you might want to be a little.
It comes with a stylus, though, correct?
Right.
Right. Well, Hunter wasn't using his, so I guarantee him and his fingernails will have that thing nicely scratched up in about a month's time. So I don't know, but if I had one, I'd guarantee nothing will touch that screen but that stylus. Mm-hmm. You know, I will kill people if they try. Oh, look at this! I can poke. No, you can't poke it. Go poke the one on display. You know, there's something to be said though for when you're in the store and you're looking at it and you got the noise and those bright fluorescent lights that drive you insane, and you got the crappy music. Somebody's playing Eminem down in the music aisle, and you're listening to the car audio guys, and you got little kids all hanging around your knees and shit. You know, it messes up the scene. But when Hunter was here, and it's all quiet, and there's just people that we know, and it was cool, and he's like, hey, check this out. They made for a better scene to play with it, too.
Yeah.
So I don't know. It's cool. The buttons are damn tiny, though.
Which is silly, because there is plenty of surface space for bigger buttons.
Yeah, that was the weirdest part. You do have plenty of room for the buttons, too. But it's nice that they even give you four on the face on right there. You know, plus the starts look up at the top, even. You know,
and so, then the shoulders.
Yeah, I'm going to have to, like, steal that from him or something and play with it.
Which are nice and big. The shoulder buttons were nicely sized, too.
So I didn't get my hands on that. I didn't really quite.
So where you want your fingers to be across the back is a lot bigger area than on the SP, which is those little dinky things.
Yeah, cool. Okay. I don't know. I'm pretty impressed with that little thing, you know. And now we've got, Sony saying how great their PSP is going to be. And, you know,
the disc shooter.
So exactly, you know, and I've been seeing things too about how the DS was getting a bad rap and how the PSP. I didn't read the whole article. I just remember seeing that somebody brought it, you know, to the world's attention that hey, the DS is kind of, you know, is a great little machine here, and everybody's saying how much better the PSP is when nobody's got one, and they're telling us how great it's going to be based on what Sony's spin doctors have been saying, you know.
And their spin doctors are the best in the
world.
They're
good. I think they're really good. You know, you get Sony and Blizzard together, you got a force. Look out, world, you know. Yeah, you team them with EA, and it's over.
Yeah.
Sorry, Microsoft, you're going to lose, okay? we're going to be using some weird, funky Japanese operating system from Sony, marketed by, you know, Blizzard, and EA is going to own them all. It's going to be nasty. Oh, I don't even want to talk about EA. I'm going to get worked up again.
Yeah.
Start sweating and foaming at the mouth. It is. I'm really pissed because, you know what? They got Oddworld Strange, whatever it's called, Stranger's Wrath or whatever it's called, that new Oddworld Odyssey game, you know? They have it now.
Ugh.
I don't think it was theirs before. If I remember
that
right.
That actually looked like it might have been halfway decent, too.
I bet it is. I bet it still is. It actually looks really cool, too, and I know a lot of people that love it, but I could have damn sworn up and down that it wasn't, that the EA had nothing to do with that, that Microsoft had it tied up somehow. I don't know what happened.
Microsoft used to.
Is that what happened?
At least the past one.
Yeah, because it was that whatever the first one, Munch's Odyssey or whatever. Yeah. But I don't know what's going to happen now. Yeah,
The sad thing is they
put
make
it on every console?
Games. I don't know.
I don't know either.
But EA, they make good games, and it sucks that I have to not buy them.
Burnout. When Burnout 4 comes out, what am I going to do? Am I going to have to, like, sacrifice a goat or something here to, like, appease the gods so that it's okay for me to buy a game from EA? Because I don't want to. I don't want to. They're bastards. You can't do what you've done. But they can. They can do what they've done and still carry on their daily business, you know? Just
and
fine.
And sleep at night.
Yeah, you know? And it's days go on, you know.
On their linen feather pillows.
It's terrible what they've done. Let's see. Now, Mocker sent us a final actual release date for Gran Turismo 4. Because I think we were looking this whole time. We kept looking and find different dates. February 22nd is the date that everybody needs to mark on their calendars for the day to call in sick and pray that you don't work at a retail establishment that sells these games. Because you're going to go buy that game that day, but you need to not show up at work. So, that should be interesting.
So, Ribosecrew.
So, yeah. Yeah. Working at a game store kind of sucks in this situation when you want to stay home and play your game, but you can't get it. But, that should be interesting. I don't know if it's up my alley. Way too hardcore for me.
Yeah, me too.
I can't.
I tried to play 3. I can see how it would be a buttload of fun. But I get my ass whooped.
Exactly. I get tore up. These serious race car games are just, they don't do it for me. But I suck is what it is. I mean, I couldn't even handle something easy like Daytona USA. That was a little bit even too heavy for me.
Yeah, it's all about the racing curves and those drifting. And
yeah.
I end up slamming into the wall every single
making
time.
Making sure you got just the shocks adjusted just right and certain kind of tires and all that. No. Give me a turtle shell to throw at somebody and some fireballs and turbo spins and stuff like that, you know.
That's why I like Wipeout. That was a fun game.
I didn't do Wipeout very well. I like Burnout. Burnout Mario Kart. Let's see. This is interesting. This is extremely interesting, I thought. There is a book out called The Making of Doom 3. Now, I don't know if Doom 3 warrants its own book just yet. But there is a book out, The Making of Doom 3, by Stephen L. Kent. Now, he's the guy that did...
It is in English, right? Not in whatever language. What's his name? Why can't I think of his name?
Who?
The head of ID. Or id.
Well, they like, all those guys own parts of it. Like, Carmack?
Yeah. Well, when you were showing me that video, he was speaking in some strange language that was not of this earth.
Now, the... The book is definitely in plain English because it's written not by him, but by Stephen Elkin, who actually writes quite a bit of stuff about video games. He does a bunch of articles online. He's in magazines all the time. And he wrote the book, The First Quarter, which was a hell of a good book.
Right.
I can't remember what it's called now. They changed it. I got it when the book first came out. It was called like The History of Video Games, The First Quarter, something like that. It was called The First Quarter. I remember that because it was really a cool name for a book that had to do with video games. Nice, thick book, a hell of a good read, very, very informative. And then they changed it to The Ultimate History of Video Games, the exact same book, but they added pages to it. You know, they added a little bit extra because it, you know, came out a little bit later.
Right.
But it kind of bummed me out. And as I understand it, that Masters of Doom book, the one about the guys over at id, they've redone that. And there's extra stuff there, too, now in that book. So I guess there's a re-release of that book, which really bugs me. You know, this isn't like you're patching a video game here. This is like, I got to go out and spend $20 on a book again. Screw that.
Yeah.
You know, I'll just deal with it, not read it or something, you know, but that pisses me off. That makes me mad. But anyway, this one, The Making of Doom 3, it's $20. It's 192 pages, which seems like a little thin to me, particularly because it's supposed to have some really, really nice, big, beautiful artwork from Doom 3 in it, which is kind of cool, you know, because the art in that game was pretty damn amazing. So, and I imagine they're going to have shots of all the dudes, you know, and they're going to have shots of the office, you know, and it's got to be there, you know. I'm probably going to end up picking this up because I work next to a bookstore. So I'm screwed.
There goes a big one.
Nice Barnes & Noble over there. So I'm going to have to check that out because I dig having this kind of stuff. And what else did they talk about? Oh, yeah, no, they talk with, like, all the dudes from id Software. And the way that Kent puts it together is, you know, like, this is what was deleted from the game. He'll interview these people, and Carmack gets to go off on all the great things about the engine, so he gets to talk a little bit about that. You get to talk to, like, the artists and stuff and tell them what, you know, they had to go through. And what I thought was will probably be the most interesting part to me is when they get to the part in the history of the making of Doom, anyway, is when they talk about the leaked alpha that was out, you know, a while back. Because I think it'd be interesting just to see what they have to say. You know, to see really what, you know, the hand of God, you know, Carmack himself just says about the leak. You know, I think that would be interesting rather than the little snippets and clips and BS we get from, you know, the internet. You know, little things that we hear and people's opinions about what it does. No, I want to hear what
Carmack...
There's
plenty of matter on the internet.
Exactly, and I want to hear... but yeah, everybody has their opinion, but I want to hear... People that matter's opinion, not, right. You know, Deathlord666 on some random, you know, forum. I don't care what he has to say very much, because it's, you know, just some random crap, you know, bad words peppered throughout it, you know, and,
right.
You know, terrible English and letters instead of, or numbers instead of letters every now and again, and I don't want to read that crap, you know, I'm not putting up with that. So, and before we get into the email, actually, since we're still talking about, like, random news crap, Star Trek.
Yeah, it's a sad day for those of us that care. Star Trek Enterprise is getting canceled. This season 4 will be its last, which is a real shame. It's the first one since the original. And I'm kind of worried that it won't get, and no Star Trek will be made after this.
One can hope so. I'm not a fan of Star Trek at all. I never have been, so.
Good stuff.
It is not good stuff, you know. Now, and it lasted 4 or 5 years?
4 years.
4 years. Okay. Yeah. And how long did all the other Star Treks last, though?
Because, 7.
Oh, that was it? I thought they were on for like 20 years or something. So
no.
It's just the reruns.
contracts in TV, they last for 5 years. Then the people usually decide whether they're going to make more money or if the... Because the actors always ask for more money after 5 years because their contract is up.
We need to ask for more money.
But and then if they do, it goes on for 2 years more, a new contract.
Oh, is that then, why it's...
Right.
Okay.
So that's why you see a lot of fives, a lot of sevens.
But then you get the good shows, like True Calling, that last like one season.
And the good shows like Star Trek.
The box set of True Calling is out, by the way.
Yeah.
I could not believe that. I like that show. That was a pretty damn good show
a
while.
You know, the whole TV on DVD thing has gone out of control when a show lasts, what, a season, two, and then they...
Not even a season. They ordered like 18 episodes or something, and I swear they did like 16.
Yeah, and
then
they
canceled,
and then they put it on DVD.
Right away, too. That does suck. But it's cool, though, if you really, really dig the show.
Well, yeah.
You know, how much did you figure that it would cost you for Star Trek?
If I were to get all of Star Trek on DVD, it would be like $2,800. That's $100 a season.
$100 a season for all the different types? Do they have them all on DVD already?
Yeah.
Even a brand new one?
No, no. I don't think so.
Probably like the first season's out already.
Maybe. I haven't seen it, but...
That's crazy. That's a lot.
Yeah.
Now see?
But it's... Each season is 7 discs long with all kinds of extras.
And dual-layer discs,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's hardcore.
7 dual-layer discs.
That's a lot of space travel.
Yeah, because it takes... To put decent quality... A season of decent quality on a single... On single-layer, it takes 2.
Yeah. Well... That's sad news for Star Trek fans. That sucks. I guess. I never watched it ever. I think I saw like 3 episodes of some random Star Trek in my whole life. And I was just like, okay, this sucks. Moving along now. I don't know. I'm never quite into it, so I guess like I don't see where you care. But I know it ran for a long time. They had all the different ones. Wasn't there some that sucked though?
No.
Really? You liked them all, huh?
I didn't like original series because it was very cheesy.
What was it?
I can't stand Shatner.
Deep Space Nine. Wasn't that the one that everybody didn't like, or most people, or was that the one that was really popular?
No, it had a shaky start, because it was not about exploring, it was about a station, so they stayed put. But then they kind of retooled a little bit, and it picked up.
Okay. Because I remember when that first came out, I remember a buddy of mine watching, a huge Star Trek fan, you know, watching that kind of stuff, and I remember him complaining about that particular one. So I didn't know if all the Star Trek fans were not happy with that or what, but that's a bummer, I guess.
I'm sad.
I don't know, man. It's less bad than them canceling Xena. Come on now.
Oh, okay.
Xena, that was some good shit there. Hercules, The Legendary Journeys, that was quality TV. That's better than Star Trek, I'm telling you. I'm telling you. All that swords and sorcery and the gods.
Damn BTV.
That was good stuff. And hey, Buffy. That thing. Eh?
Buffy's good stuff.
Buffy, that's up on there. All right, then. Okay. Now, we did get some email. And we got an email from Mocker, actually. Howdy. I just figured I would send an email to fill up the show in these dark, dark times with some small previewish bullshit. We love small previewish bullshit, though. Because we need it, because we're struggling sometimes. It's just like, oh man, I didn't do anything all week. Like, I wanted to play these other games, and I was actually impressed with us the other week. We actually had a bunch of other games that we tore ourselves away from EverQuest to play other stuff.
This week I did check out Fire Emblem, but it's a little on the old side.
Yeah, I guess.
I think anybody that cares knows about it.
Probably, but you know what we're going to have to do then right off the bat is check out the new one.
Yeah.
The one for the GameCube.
That looks kind of tight.
It does. That should be neat. Let's see. Carrying on here. These last few days I've been playing the SWAT 4 multiplayer beta. I'm sure you guys would hate it because of your hate for slow-paced tactical shooters, but someone else might find it interesting. If you've played any of the previous SWAT games, you probably know what to expect. SWAT 4 is a slow-paced tactical shooter with some neat touches. One of my favorite things that separates it from other tactical shooters is the large amount of non-lethal weapons, including a pepper ball gun, a taser, pepper spray, and a tear gas grenade. And they also have a big effect on gameplay since they can easily knock out your opponent for up to 10 seconds. That's pretty cool. But you notice that you ever played, you know, you play this kind of stuff, like Counter-Strike, or whether it's tactical tactical ops or frag ops or whatever, and you've got these guns that do different, or it's like grenades I'm thinking of really. You know, you've got like a flash grenade or something that makes everybody screen white. It doesn't seem like it affects people too bad. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Or if you turn your guy around at the right moment and it blows up in front of you, you won't get flashed. You know, I mean, it's just, they don't work well enough. They don't debilitate the player as much as they should.
Yeah, generally speaking, in a game like that, you end up getting a few guns or whatever that are really good. And of course, depending on your playstyle, someone might be really awesome with a sniper rifle and whatever.
Yeah, baby, it's all about the pH in tactical ops, man. One shot kills.
But when you get really good at that one gun, switching around between all this utility stuff ends up being a waste of your time.
Yeah, you know, that's dead on. That is exactly what the deal is. I see with most of these games, because it comes down to, oh, we got 40 guns! Sweet. Which of these 2 am I going to use 99% of the time?
Yeah.
You know, or it's usually, I wind up with like an MP5, something small and fast, for when I'm broke, you know, while you start the game with that. And then, you know, I'll switch up to a nice sized rifle type, something really fast though, you know. Something that just mows people down. And I'm big on scopes. You know, give me that H&K gun, whatever that thing is. That thing's the bomb, you know. Or give me, like from Tactical Ops. I use that damn thing all the time. Or a sniper rifle. I'll admit it. I'm one of them camping bastards. I like to sit there and shoot people in the head when they don't know where it's coming from. I dig it. I love it. It's fun. Sorry. I know I've been cursed at many a time. Okay, let's see.
But he did mention twice something about slow-paced tactical shooting.
Yeah, yeah.
And
I don't know about that. We'll see.
I mean, are we talking like Rainbow Six style?
No, probably like a little bit slower than... Probably faster than that and slower than Counter-Strike, probably. Probably right around in that area. Because it's multiplayer. Right. So, you know, the people move around pretty fast no matter what they do. Like, even in Counter-Strike, people try to get around as much as they can, you know, as fast as they can. That's where the bunny hopping comes in, you know, where they're jumping around, trying to go fast and all that. Let's see. There are also absolutely necessary to complete the objective. Your objective isn't simply to wipe out the enemy, but either to escort a VIP to the extraction point, if you're SWAT, or capture the VIP and hold him hostage for 2 minutes, then kill him if you're playing as suspect. That's really cool. That is a nice, neat little twist on these kind of games. Mm-hmm. That's pretty cool. I like that. It's here that the non-lethal... Oh, good. Okay, he's going to give it down, break it down for us, because this is what I always feel the weak point is.
We usually end up jumping in a little
early. I know, huh? This always happens. One of these days, we're not going to do that. Okay, yeah, this is where the non-lethal weapon's going to play. In order to handcuff the VIP, he has to be under the effect of some sort of non-lethal weapon. You can also handcuff any of your enemies if they are under the effect of a non-lethal weapon. Another neat touch is that the VIP is actually a randomly selected player who has a pistol and pepper spray to defend himself.
Oh.
That is awesome. Okay, I'm liking that a lot.
I wonder, though, what exactly the effect of handcuffing an enemy would be.
But you probably can't shoot anymore. You know, like if you
can, indefinitely for the round, that would kind of blow.
Yeah, well, maybe if you run into your buddies, they can take your handcuffs off. Mm-hmm. You know, but I don't see why you would handcuff somebody and not shoot them.
Yeah.
If you could completely eliminate them from the match, why would you not do that? You know, he probably explains it if we would just read on. Let's see. The game is a lot of fun when you get a good group of people together who don't keep on accidentally killing the VIP. I'm definitely buying the game and would recommend that everyone checks out the multiplayer beta. Oh, okay. I wonder, this must be some kind of File Planet thing then. For some reason, I was under the impression it's coming from Mocker and he's huge on mods. I thought this was some kind of mod for something. Another thing that is worth checking out if you like squad-based first-person shooter games is the Star Wars Republic Commando demo. It's another game in the new disturbing trend of good Star Wars games. I won't bother to go into detail, but it's definitely worth the bandwidth. Now, for the biggest piece of news in my entire email. You already know what this is. Mountain Dew finally got released in Norway. It is indeed a day of joy for all of mankind. I had no idea they didn't have Mountain Dew out there.
Yeah, that's tough.
I don't know how he survived.
Especially since he's lived in the U.S.
Oh, he has?
Yeah.
No shit. That's why he wanted it so bad.
Poor bastard.
He's tasted the caffeine, the pure rush of Dew the Dew Extreme. He knows what it's like. Damn, that's pretty good though. That really sounds interesting, that SWAT game. I'm gonna have to check that out, cause I really do actually like that kind of stuff a lot. And if they did a good job, like cause he focused on the non-lethal stuff, which is cool. Because obviously they put a lot of effort into it, because exactly like we jumped ahead there, was that they suck. Most of the time, all that extra crap is useless. You know what I see 99% of the time in these kind of games? People will buy the smoke grenade, or, you know, a flashbang. And the round will start, everybody will run out 2 steps towards each other, and then out come the grenades, hoping to catch some jackass who wasn't thinking with the first flash or something. You know, that's the only time it ever seems to come into play. It seems like very, very rarely do you run into a situation where somebody still has a grenade 10 minutes into the match, you know, and then be able to use it, you know, effectively in combat. You know, very tactical use of that grenade doesn't seem to happen in most of these games. So every now and again it happens, and it really blows your mind when it does happen. But most of the time it's, you know, smoke and flash grenades right off the bat, followed by the dudes throwing out the real damage grenades, you know, just the high damage grenades.
Right.
And you just hope to catch some random dude, and it works. Oh, I guarantee it works, because I've killed 3, 4, 5 people at the beginning of a match, chuck one into their base, and everybody's still standing there. Boom! And you see that I killed like 5 people, and everybody goes, "Oh, you're the man!" And I'm like, "Yeah, yeah, yeah." And I get killed by the first person that sees me, probably wielding a spork. I suck. I'm out of practice too, man. I haven't played these games in a long time. Now we got an email from Cushion, a 4-page email.
Thank you, Cushion.
Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. We got reviews on games and some movies, it looks like. Okay, let me start out here. Hey guys, here are the reviews I talked about earlier. I know you already touched on Minish Cap and Resident Evil 4 earlier, but frankly, this was halfway written out by the time I heard the last episode. Now see this. This is the shit. He drafts of email before we get the final product, okay? This is the bomb, alright? This is awesome. I cannot praise you enough. I thank you so much. Now he starts out with the Minish Cap, okay? This is the Game Boy Advance Minish Cap Zelda game. There are certain classic games that you always wished had a sequel. Oh, look, this is beautiful. This is beautiful already. Yeah. Man, I'm under some kind of like odd power here, like if you were to see Jesus Christ himself, you know? No, not some next generation 3D sequel, but a sequel in the style of the original game. For me, that game was Legend of Zelda, Link to the Past for the Super Nintendo. I loved the game for its great sprite-based graphics, updated music, and deep environment with its light and dark worlds. Well, I'm happy to say the Minish Cap is that long-awaited sequel to the Link to the Past. And that is great, because I know every single person I talk to that has played Zelda games always tells me the same thing. Is it like A Link to the Past?
Mm-hmm.
And you have to say, no, it's in 3D. While they did a good job, like Cushion says, it's one of those games that you wished had a sequel, a real sequel in the style of the original game.
Yeah, you can't be knocking or Ocarina of Time.
No, I'm not saying anything bad about that at all. I'm just saying, you know, I really wanted a sequel to A Link to the Past.
So, did the Age games not...
Yeah, they were great. They were good. I liked those. What was the Age of... Oracle of Ages and Oracle of Seasons.
Yeah,
those were really good, which is why I like those so much. And I would highly recommend those games to anybody that's been dying to play something that's just like that. The Game Boy Color, they were Game Boy Color games. They did a hell of a job on those. They really did. But I think we've reached new heights here, at least. Let's see. The story revolves around Hyrule interacting with the Minish people, a race of tiny mice-like creatures that once saved Hyrule from an evil force many years ago. A sorcerer appears at a festival for the Minish and turns Princess Zelda into stone. Now it's up to Link, again, to save the princess by restoring the ancient Minish sword and hunting down the elements needed to break the spell. As you start the journey, you rescue the wise-ass Minish Cap, who can shrink you into Minish size in certain areas, and the two are off to save the day. Okay, so pretty standard Zelda story. But the great parts are what make up the game. The graphics are as good as they were in the Super Nintendo Zelda, sprite-filled goodness, but they're also improved. It's all about the sprites, baby, right? That should be our tagline. It's all about the sprites. Most items and characters have several frames of animation to really come to life. Check out the way the Minish miners' whole bodies move as they mine, or the satisfying mushroom cloud the bombs make. That's pretty cool. Rather than that one animation, or the two, it was two animations. Remember the original Zelda, though? It was like the two puff clouds that would just flip between the two, you know, so it looked like it was blowing up. That was the bomb.
Literally.
Yes, literally. That was the bomb. Okay, let's see. While the characters look great, the backgrounds are even better. Hyrule has the great 16-bit sprite look, but the Minish world is wonderfully drawn out with giant obstacles like acorns and shoes all drawn out like a cartoon. The music is typical Super Nintendo Zelda music, with some songs that sound exactly the same. The new music is also in the 16-bit style and fits the game perfectly. And you'll be happy to know no Wind Waker influence went into the game. Yes!
That's a lie.
Sorry, I had to get that out. That's allowed, is that what you said?
No, it's a lie.
Oh, really? Oh, okay. We'll talk about that and we'll get to the end of the paragraph here. Maybe we shouldn't screw up his thing and we'll wait till we're done with the Minish Cap part. Maybe he mentions it. Let's see, no Wind Waker influence went into this game, which means no annoying battle cry out of Link. He shouts, but it's not ear-splitting. The gameplay is also great. A and B are the weapon item buttons, and the R button is the action button. Pull, push, throw, etc. If I had any complaints about the gameplay, it would be that Link's sword slashes seemed a little too quick, making battles button mashy, and there is no way to scroll through items in your inventory. Like the NES Zelda, that's the original one, like the, it's a hard word to say, NES, I guess. It sounds like I'm trying to say a word, but it's not. Like the Nintendo Entertainment System Zelda, you must pause, choose the new item, press the button you want the item to go to, and unpause. Very frustrating in the heat of battle or in certain puzzles. So there was some Wind Waker influence there?
Yeah, some of the... for instance, the way Link looks.
Oh.
He's got that whole kind of halfway anime hair thing going on. He's very young. Some of the explosion he was talking about, that mushroom cloud, is the mushroom cloud from Wind Waker.
Yeah, I think I remember seeing that too. But it plays, it actually looks pretty good though.
Those
really
green.
Does.
Oh no, I'm not saying they're bad.
Yeah, it's just straight out of Wind Waker. You're right.
And also those little green magic dudes. You know, like, they come in other colors too, but like when you slash one of them, it zaps you or.
Oh, yeah.
Those things, they look like they did it in Wind Waker.
Oh, okay.
And a few of the other enemies do too.
All right. Well, I mean.
They're not bad influences.
Yeah, I was gonna say, it doesn't sound like you're not floating on the ocean for 6 months.
No.
So that's not so bad. Cool. I don't know, it still sounds awesome. And as a matter of fact, I have it sitting right here. This. Is the box! Yeah, and on the box even they have it is his style from Wind Waker. That's for sure. But, I'll tell you what, I cannot wait to play this game. I don't know what I'm gonna do now. I'm not gonna sleep anymore. I'm gonna like lay in bed after a day of EQ, and I'm gonna play Zelda the Minish Cap, because I have it right here, and I'm like dying to play this game. I must thank Hunter for that one. Speaking of puzzles, Minish Cap knows how to liven them up. Most involve the interesting items you'll like the gust jar to suck in items, or the cane of Pocky to flip items over. Backtracking also uses these items, making it more like rediscovering a certain area or room. Also, the Minish Cap itself can help you out in certain areas. Hit a wind tornado and the cap will expand like a parachute to float you to new locations. Another great thing about the Minish Cap is that if you get stuck, hit select to have the cap remind you what's happening and where to go. The cap will also give you this recap every time you restart the game. This is a great feature to help keep you up to speed, especially if you put the game down for a while. Now, there's a few things I wanted to point out in here. First of all, the inventory management. Mm-hmm. I am on this. I'm on every page with you on this one, Cushion, because I remember playing, you know, the original Legend of Zelda, and the game is amazing, but it just blows to go back, and when you have to pause it to change your items. Now, a lot of people don't know this, but BS Zelda, the one for that satellite deal out in Japan that never came out, mm-hmm. It was out for the Super Nintendo in Japan for like a day, you know? The ROM is out there, and you can get your hands on it, and it is patched enough that it does play, and I have actually gone through and beaten that game. But the inventory is dope, because the L and R buttons on that will rotate through your inventory in the slot. So you don't have to pause the action. You can just, you know, if you know where you're at in your inventory mentally, you know that clicking the L button once will move it from your bombs to your arrows. Mm-hmm. And if you're on your bombs and you click it right once, now you're on your flame wand or whatever, you know, that magic wand thing or whatever it is, you know, the case may be, you know. And it makes the gameplay a lot of fun that way, quick.
I do like how the later Zeldas for the consoles work with the three activatable items are generally enough.
Oh, yeah. That's true.
Plus, it gives you a little bit of strategy. You're in this dungeon, well,
what am I going to use in here? Yeah, okay. Now, what else was I going to say? We talked about the puzzles before, too. Remember about how it was not all Nintendo-y puzzles, which is a good thing.
Yeah.
It's nice to mix it up a little bit. There's nothing wrong with Nintendo's puzzles. We were raised on those, and they're great. And this is nuts, but I get all excited reading about Zelda games. You know, I'm Nintendo. You know, I feel nice holding this Nintendo box in my hand. I haven't felt that good in ages. You know, I'm like, I'll go out and buy a new game. I'll go pick up some, you know, some new Xbox game that came out that's, you know, based on some movie or whatever, and it's just like, what kind of shit is this? You know, who cares? You know, or I'll walk by and I'll see, this is the new exclusive Uber game for the PlayStation 2. You must have it. We are Sony. Bow. And I'm just like, you know, I don't know. I'm just not excited here. I know I'm not in for an experience. I know I might be in for a decent gameplay. You know, I might be in for a decent game. But I'm not in for an experience, which is what I know I get from most of Nintendo's games. And in fact, I was going to make it a point here real soon to try a little bit harder to get some news out of Nintendo for, you know, recent games. Because we haven't talked about a Nintendo game in a long time.
And there are a couple that are coming out that look really good.
There is. And we need to talk about that because Nintendo's not, they're far from dead. You know, they're not going anywhere. They make some fantastic games. It just seems like I'm cluttered with PC game information and Xbox game information and PS2 game information, you know?
Almost all of them are mature.
That's true, too. It doesn't make them for any good game, though, you know? It doesn't mean it's going to be a good game.
No.
You know?
But
I'm not telling you. I know you know that, but
I'm just saying that Nintendo is starting to realize that they need to flush out their age a little bit.
Yeah. They've raised us. they need to keep supporting us, though. You can't pull the plug on us now. Okay, I mean, granted, the new generation does need the gamers, okay? But a lot of this new generation is screwed up, though. So you know what? Some of those might be a lost...
bastards.
Exactly. They might be a lost cause. We might just have to scrap a couple of, you know, a group of years just get to float through. But Nintendo's gonna bring it back, you know? They're keeping it real, alright?
Oh yeah, that's how we roll.
Keep in mind, the game isn't perfect. You can save anywhere, but this is a dual-edged sword. It saves the game exactly as you left it, which means if you save the game with half a heart of life left, you'll be at half a heart when you reload the game. Very shitty. Another bad spot about the game is how small the map is. From the place in Hyrule, the four dungeons look to be about only three zones over in any directions. Luckily, or maybe not, many zones are blocked off until later to give you a detour and make the world seem bigger.
It is a little on the small side.
No, and there's only four dungeons, or is there eight?
I think there's only four. I never quite finished because I got pulled across to EverQuest. But I beat three of them, and I think I was on the fourth one.
Oh, okay. Well,
and it seemed like it was wrapping up.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, man, I don't know if that's enough Zelda for me, though. Well.
No, I took...
Any Zelda is good Zelda. So it will be enough Zelda. There are also some interesting features in the game. The game has random items called kinstones, little coins split in half that Link can collect. Basically, Link matches a kinstone with an NPC and bonus areas appear. This is usually where you'll find a heart container, find heart container pieces and rupees instead of bombing every wall in the game. But by far the weirdest item in the game has to be the dick mushrooms. In areas throughout the game, Link will have to stretch the flesh-covered shaft of these penis-shaped mushrooms until he's red in the face, till slingshot over pits and holes. Seriously, Nintendo didn't see a problem with this in testing? That's funny as hell. Overall, if you were a fan of Link to the Past, what am I saying? You already own this game. But if you were looking for a good old-fashioned style Zelda game with an interesting concept, and unique items and environments, go ahead and pick it up. You will not be disappointed. Considering retail price for this game is $35, I'd say that it's an easy $30. Proof that 2D action and the GBA are not dead. Nice. Bravo. You know, and I can't wait. When the hell was the last time I bought a game? EverQuest. Before that, when did I get a new game? I can't remember the last crap I bought, and I probably didn't play it anyway. I probably bought it going, oh, I gotta play this. I bought it. I'll play it tomorrow. Not too excited, you know. I was playing Sly and Burnout 3. That was good stuff, but there was so much crap in between there, and a lot of crap made it into my collection somehow. You know, but now I hold ye almighty Zelda game. And I have noticed something. These Zelda games do have some kind of magic where they pull me away from everything else. Mm-hmm. I remember getting my hands on those Oracle games. And whatever the hell I was playing went away. It is like anti-EverQuest in this little box right here. EverQuest needs to stop because it's bad. I don't sleep anymore. All right. On episode 76, you talked about Resident Evil 4 with Ribo. Well, I thought I would add my two cents. Like you said, the game looks absolutely beautiful. I played the GameCube version, and I couldn't believe the cube could make something that lifelike. For me, it was what really caught me about the game. How lifelike the villagers and surroundings were. For example, I'm walking around a farm in the beginning of the game. I alert the zombie-like farmers and they start to stagger towards me. One from the barn, one that is behind a picket fence. I go for the barn farmer, thinking the fence will stop the other guy. Seamlessly, the farmer climbs over the fence and starts to attack me. This may not sound like much, but it was cool to see a detailed character climb a fence with no lost frames of animation.
Yeah.
Which is nice, because you play an MMORPG and they just pop up on top of the fence and then pop down back on the ground. I get real used to that, and that sucks ass. And just like the farmer climbed the fence, your character can interact with almost everything. Want to climb a ladder? Or over a fence? Or jump out a window to escape? No problem. Very nice considering the previous wooden Resident Evil games. But I did have a couple of problems with the game. The melee attacks seem kind of hit and miss. You have a knife by default, but it didn't really seem to do that much close quarter damage. That and occasionally it would say press A to kick if a guy got just close enough. But most of the time, I would just flash away just in time for A to do nothing. I don't know, maybe it was just me. Overall, I'd agree that this is one of the best Resident Evil games ever! and he spelled it correctly, ever! And undoubtedly one of the best-looking games currently for the GameCube on any system. Or any system. The fact they dropped the Raccoon City storyline and it's still called Part 4 is weird, though. That is a little strange.
Yeah.
You know?
A couple companies have been doing that. Final Fantasy comes to mind.
They don't care anymore. You know? I don't think it matters. They need to just call it generic first-person shooter. You know, here's ours.
312.
You know, yeah, exactly. Just randomly generate numbers at the end of it. You know, RPG457ZQ. You know, fucking great, man. This is what we need. We need more of this. It's crazy. Finally, I got a chance to see the recent Elektra movie. What the hell? You know what this is?
Vaguely.
Okay, I have no idea. Even though it looked kind of like a Mortal Kombat movie, I'm a whore for comic book movies. So I thought I would check it out. As you may recall, Jennifer Garner played Elektra in the much-overlooked Daredevil movie and, spoiler, got killed at the end. I'm sorry, people, but you didn't watch Daredevil anyway. And I got shit for it because I thought it was a pretty good movie. Well, that movie was even overlooked by this new movie because no mention is made of Daredevil except for that she was dead and resurrected by her blind, Yoda-like ninja master. Ah, live again you will, I see. Something like that. Upon her revival, Elektra becomes an assassin for hire. But on her second assignment in the movie, she opts to quit the assassin business and protect a father and his daughter. That's great, but it would have been better if we saw a series of assassinations to show that she was one of the best. Yeah, I right away I thought that right up, you know, when he said that I went, oh my god, you know, give us a couple more, you know, let us see how badass, you know, things can get. Instead, it feels like Elektra was just some misguided ninja who took up killing as a part-time job. So since she turned down the job, the guy who played Shang Tsung, I knew this was a Mortal Kombat movie. Remember he was in the Mortal Kombat games?
Yeah.
Sends out his son and band of mutants to finish Elektra off. One guy has tattoos that say, you know, I'm having a hard time reading this because I have no idea what this is. So I'm not sure what I'm trying to get at here. Like, I'm not sure what to be picturing and what to talk about. This is weird. I gotta see this though. I have to check this out. One guy has tattoos that turn into bad CGI. One woman has the power to give hot girl-on-girl kisses. That's a hell of a power. One guy's just really big. After the freak show is taken care of, Elektra is off to fight Shang Tsung's son, who has the power to wrap people in bedsheets. Overall, not the mystic magical ninjas you'd expect to find in a superhero movie. On top of that, the acting isn't very good either. Jennifer Garner is supposed to be some dark Wolverine-like mystery woman, but comes off as cranky and whispering. The protected family doesn't have much to work with, and the bad guys really do act like Mortal Kombat villains. The only guy to come off good is Elektra's ninja master, and it looks like he just took Jedi 101 and mailed in the rest. Damn. Overall, a pretty poor showing for a movie based off of one of the darker comic book movies of recent times. Maybe if they would have shown more Elektra as a badass assassin, she only wears the red assassin gear twice in the movie, and given the freak show more of a personality, it could have been better. Other than that, the movie seems more like something from the Dolph Lundgren Punisher days rather than today with the outstanding X-Men and Spider-Man movies. The characters do exist in the Daredevil Elektra universe, but just seems thrown in or watered down to make an easy, cheesy action movie. Overall, this is rental material. Pick it up if you're a big Jennifer Garner fan or if you want to see a cheesy comic-based ninja movie. Well, that about does it for me. I'll go back to playing the blocky, poorly lit, drawn-out world of San Andreas. Well, you didn't hear that from me. I'm sure he's enjoying San Andreas, though. Because I know he likes the other ones a lot, so I'm sure it's good fun. But wow, that movie sounds terrible. But I'm still gonna have to check it out.
Yeah.
Because
well,
I too,
like Daredevil.
I'm a whore. I also though am a whore for the comic book action movie. I like that kind of stuff. You know. Okay, let's talk a little bit about Nintendo, since we did mention it, what little we do have at this point, and then hopefully we'll get to get really, really involved and detailed, you know, on some of this stuff later on. But we do know, you know, as of now, that there is quite a decent list of stuff. I mean, even if it's short, just that what we have at this moment, mm-hmm. of really good stuff to look forward to. I'm going to start the list with the greatest one on the list.
Zelda.
Pokemon.
Oh. You meant really the best.
Yeah, the best game ever. Okay. And there's a Pokemon game, I guess, coming out for the GameCube.
Well, now, I believe, I'm no expert on the subject, but I believe it's the first Like actual.
He's a closet Pokemon player. I know it.
I have played them. They're actually quite a bit of fun. Yeah.
I've actually never played one of those before, and I don't know. I mean, I'm sure they're not bad. I'm sure they're not bad at all. I just never really got into it. So.
They're great for the GBA style.
Oh, I bet. I bet. And these games are insanely popular, so I must be missing out on something. But then again, so is Grand Theft Auto.
But I'm pretty sure it's the first true Pokemon game on a console. I might be wrong.
No, there's Pokemon Coliseum on the Nintendo 64.
Right, but all that is you plug it into your Game Boy and then battle your Pokemon
on
in 3Ds. Yeah.
Oh, really?
That's why it's called Coliseum. It's just a place where you can battle your Pokemon in a 3D environment.
Oh, okay, okay. I didn't know that.
And
this one's going to have the whole, like, adventure where you run around.
Right,
and
it's just like the GBA ones.
Which I don't know anything about.
It's basically an RPG.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Okay, what the hell do you play as?
One of those little... The Pokemon.
Really?
Technically, you play as yourself ordering the Pokemon, but...
Oh.
But you play it as the people battling are the Pokemon.
Oh, okay.
And then you run around trying to collect them, and battling other people, and stuff like that.
Gotta catch them all, right?
Yeah.
That's the trick.
So I think a lot of fans of the series will be really looking forward to some quality graphics and maybe a little longer.
Nice little sit-down time at their house rather than playing on the road or wherever, sitting on that tiny-ass little screen in their bedroom.
With a nice large world.
Yeah,
fleshed out and all that good stuff.
That could be a big-ass game, too. I mean, think about what they've done just on like Game Boy.
Yeah.
You know, and now they're moving up to with almost a gig and a half of storage on that little DVD or whatever it is.
Right.
That could be pretty nice for the Pokemon fans, you know. Hell, I'd like to check it out one of these days just to know. It's like Pikmin. I know it's a fun game. I need to sit down and check it out, you know, just to play it for just a little while at the very least, just to say, wow, that was really a cool game, a great concept, you know, just so I know what it's all about. You know, I'm sure
I've tried to play a couple of them, and I can see how they're actually really cool, but I never get more than like half an hour, 45 minutes play time before I... All right, enough of the fuzzy creatures.
Yeah. Let's see. Well, okay, and Zelda.
Right.
Yeah, Zelda, we talked about, like, I remember the day that we found that out, it was like, oh my god... The world, everything was okay with the world that day.
Oh, definitely.
That was a good day.
And we don't know a whole lot more than we did then.
Basically this is just, don't forget there's an Uber Zelda coming out, you know, and at least from what we've seen.
Yeah.
You know, it looks like they're going back to the really nice, realistic looking style graphics. It looks
with
like
the
they're
older Zelda,
you know,
older Link.
Older Link, yeah. Yeah, I can't wait. But it looks like it has, at least in the videos they showed us, a lot to do with war. You know, it didn't seem like most Zelda games had to do with war. Doesn't it
right.
seem like most Zelda games had to do with, you know,
well,
you trying to rescue the princess somehow?
They're swinging back the other way.
So.
Like, they had the real kiddie style.
Yeah.
The first time, and that didn't pan out too well for a lot of people. And
we were
so
not happy.
No.
But, yeah, I don't know.
I don't think anybody I ever talked to really considered it to be the solid, good way to go about it.
Yeah. Yeah, you're right. I don't think so either. I don't know. I mean, other than the video they showed us, it didn't, you know, didn't give us a whole lot. It was more than the video they gave us back before Wind Waker, back at the Space World 2000. It was longer than that, you know, but they had a video. If you haven't seen this yet, you need to stop whatever it is that you're doing that is worthless, you know, and go get that video from the new Zelda. I guarantee IGN's got it up on their site somewhere. You can go poke around and click through ads and all that crap and eventually find screenshots and whatnot. It is amazing looking, and I really hope they don't pull that switch on us again and screw us with the something dumb.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I don't even know about the war idea. I mean, I don't even know if they're going this direction, but the video showed what looked very warlock, you know, warlike, very Link versus a billion of those little moblin dudes, you know, or whatever he's fighting. So, I don't know.
I'm sure there'll be plenty of dungeons where you crawl around doing puzzles and stuff.
I hope so. I really hope so. I don't want them to lose that.
Well, you can't.
I understand that.
Lose that and it's not...
Yeah, well, what if you take away all the land and put them on a boat? Is that Zelda?
Yeah, it's still Zelda because you go around the dungeons.
Yeah, I guess. Yeah, there are very few, but it better be awesome. It better be awesome. There's, along with Nintendo's flagship characters, Mario. We're still waiting for that Mario 128 that everybody's been talking about for like 5 years.
And it's still TBA 2005.
Yeah, yeah.
But the official word from Nintendo is it is most definitely a GameCube title and not the next one.
That's what's been worrying me. You know, we're getting close. We're getting dangerously close to something new here. You know, I mean, Sony and Microsoft are just ready to roll. You know, they're getting all pumped up and excited over this next generation. you know, and Nintendo, all I've basically heard from them is, nah, here's the DS. This thing's pretty awesome for portables. Great. Here you go, guys. You know, they haven't said anything too much.
They've always been tight-lipped.
They have. They
just
have.
Like Square, just like...
But I don't want them to screw us and say, okay, we decided that the new Zelda and the new Mario was a greater project than we anticipated, and we... the best one is how they say, to do us justice, that we had to put it on a new console so that, you know, it was enjoyable for the players. Because it wouldn't be as great as it would be on...
Sometimes that's panned out for the best.
Sometimes, but people... Nintendo, I think, is in such a bad spot right now. They need to do something to. I haven't dusted off my cube in a long time, and I want to. I want to sit down on my couch and just chill and play some GameCube games, you know?
And,
I'm looking forward to it.
I think they see
that,
and they're gonna hold off and put out some good quality GameCube games so that, people want to buy the next one.
Yeah.
You want to leave a good taste in the people's mouth at the end.
Good call. That's very true. Because right now, they're in, they're not doing too good. If this was tomorrow, you know, that all these consoles came out, the very last one picked up, I'm pretty sure, by most people, would be the GameCube.
Well, Nintendo's next one.
So. Oh yeah. Nintendo's next one. It would be the last one. I'm fairly certain, you know, and they need to pull that back. What they need to do, I feel, put out the Zelda, make sure we get Zelda and Mario on this, but be working on another one at the same time. Give us a launch title for your new console that's a Mario game.
Well, they always have.
Well, yeah, but I mean, like, even, like, the DS doesn't have a Mario game out yet. It's not out yet, is it? I don't think so. Hunter said he would have picked it up if he saw it.
Mario 64?
No, well, yeah, whatever it's called. X4 or whatever, yeah.
Right.
Yeah, but, they need to make sure that happens, and they need to make sure that we get another one on the GameCube, though. You know, it's not just make sure we get another one on the next console.
And in case you don't know, because we haven't mentioned it, the Mario 128, like it sounds, is supposed to be a true Mario 64 sequel.
Yeah, none of this water gun crap.
in the tropical-only setting.
Yeah. And I can't wait. I'm all excited. Let's see, what else is coming out? Well, you know, since we're talking about Nintendo's big guys here, Donkey Kong Jungle Beat. The one that we botched up a few times before and had it convinced with the party dance game or whatever, Donkey Kong, that's what it was.
Yeah.
This one looks like a pretty cool action game.
Well, I don't know, but it definitely looks like an interesting title and something to check out. Basically, like we mentioned, what we thought the Donkey Kong was,
yeah.
Is it's like a platformer where you use the bongos to control your guy.
Incredibly fun, I bet, but I don't see me sitting here in my house beating on those drums.
Yeah, I'm really not sure how they go about doing that.
I don't know either, but I would love to play with a controller, so I'm not sure what's going to happen yet.
It can't be very involved as far as what you do.
Yeah. There's no way it's going to take lightning quick reflexes for most of this stuff.
Two pads and a sound sensor. That's it for the bongos.
Yeah, that's your controls for
three buttons.
A side scroller. So
that's
yeah.
It. So it must be something like he runs no matter what, and one of them makes him jump
and one makes him punch or something, huh?
And then the clap must do something else.
Yeah, it's gotta be.
It must be like more like a play a little bit more like maybe a rail shooter sort of deal.
Yeah, I bet.
Donkey Kong is running no matter what.
That very well could be the case. Very well could be the case. And Nintendo usually does a pretty good job, I think, with their
weird stuff.
Yeah, exactly. You know, I mean, like think about how cool the Power Glove was. How cool was the Super Scope? Okay? The Power Pad. I played the shit out of that thing. I don't care how dumb the game was. They had me jumping up and down all hours of the night with that thing, you know? They do a pretty good job with that kind of stuff, mm-hmm. You know? Walking around with that big-ass Super Scope bazooka thing blowing crap out of the sky. The light gun. Huh?
Oh, yeah.
How many times did you try to shoot that dog? Right? They do a pretty good job, I think, of this. So I have faith that this is actually going to be pretty awesome. You know? And
the only shame thing is if... I'm sure it won't come with the bongos.
Yeah, because they're out. You know, you can get those with Donkey Konga now.
Right, and so I don't know if you'll
be able to get
buy them separately, or if you have to buy the, or
the
maybe that you'll be able to use a controller instead.
Yeah, that you probably
but if they use the sound sensor, you're kind of screwed. You'd have to use a third button as well.
Yeah, man. I don't know if that would play quite the same either. It might really take away from what they intended to do.
Right.
Which probably would take away from most of the good gameplay. And here's one that almost everybody's going to be excited about, myself included. Star Fox.
Oh, yeah. Not that crap adventure wannabe Zelda, but twice as bad as Wind Waker crap. Oh, I bought that too because I loved StarCraft.
I can't believe that.
I love both of them, the Super Nintendo and the N64 one. Although the N64 one was a little short.
It was.
I beat it in one day.
Yeah, but it was still fun. Yeah, I rented that one and was just done with it. But it was a good game. And having a new Star Fox with the graphics they've done now, and think of the speed that it's probably going to be. Think about how fast does F-Zero go. F-Zero feels like you're moving pretty damn good. And I think, you know, we're going to have a really, really nice shooter here, I think. I think this is going to be... I love Panzer Dragoon Orta, but this might be more fun than that. And Panzer Dragoon Orta is a blast for me. I don't know what it is about that game, but I can't get enough of it. But this game...
That does... I am very excited about...
You get to hear your frog buddy garble at you again, his funky voice. I wonder if they're going to try to make him talk now, though.
They talked in N64.
They did?
Yeah.
I don't remember.
I was like hella shocked because it had to be one of the first ones.
Wow, I didn't even remember that. I kept picturing them with the garbled voice, but it was a real short window. I played it, I rented it, beat it, never touched it again. It was all right, but it wasn't GoldenEye and wasn't Mario Kart 64 either. That's what I played the most on that. Okay, well, but we do have that to look forward to, you know, and Advance Wars, which is a really cool Game Boy Advance series right now.
It's real-time strategy,
turn-based strategy.
It's a little different, though.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I don't think it's turn-based. But there's something strange that they kind of deviated from what the normal Game Boy Advance playstyle was.
Huh. Well, I'm sure they're going to have to change it quite a bit because I would be kind of pissed playing the same game. I had issues with the way they wanted you to complete the missions in that game. It seemed like there was a formula that you basically had to, through trial and error, figure out while you were playing, that you almost could not beat the damn map unless you went right down that formula. It seemed like there was only two ways to beat a map. You know, it didn't seem like it was really, you had to have strategy, and it seemed like you had to figure out, you know, basically play in backwards. You know, get to a point, figure out what you did that worked for that point. Then take it one step further. If it doesn't work, you go to that same point because it worked, and that's what they want you to do. Then you try something else and go the different way. You know, instead of using your tanks, you use the airplanes on the second move, and that's how you're supposed to progress. And it really seemed like I was just trying to figure out how they wanted me to solve it.
Yeah, apparently this one is essentially the same type of game, only you do it all on the fly.
Oh, wow.
Which is very interesting, and...
Huh, well...
I'm not sure how they'll do the movement.
Yeah, I don't know. Unless everything has a very, like, if it's turn-based and everything has a very, like they use large number, like, initiative. Rather than, like, your turn, my turn, and I move all my dudes.
I move and now I have to wait a little while before that thing can move again.
Yeah, yeah. You know, and it just keeps rolling around for everybody, though. But the computer goes at the same time, maybe. Maybe that's how that's going to work. I don't know. It'd be interesting to see, though.
Yeah.
And it's actually, really decent.
And if that was the case, it would make you really think on your feet.
Which is cool. You know, you wouldn't have to sit there and stare at the screen for an hour and a half and try to figure out how to progress, you know. So, and I can't wait. Because, I mean, even the graphics in the Game Boy Advance ones were cool. You know, the really neat, drawn-looking, you know, style of everything. I thought it was cool. Very, it almost looked like it was colored in with crayons. Things were bright, but it was cool. It was like, it was pretty neat, you know. And they had a neat setup for the people that you fought. They all had, like, special abilities. You know, you had, like, the blue army guys, and you would fight the blue star army or whatever they were, blue moon or whatever, and the blizzard captain guy was one of their dudes, and he had this special move where he could make, you know, this blizzard come out, which would reduce your movement.
But not his.
But not his, you know, for a round or whatever. And it was, they all had little abilities like that, and they had multiple different commanders though, so depending on your play style and how you wanted to play, you could use different strategies and whatnot. So, I don't know, it'd be interesting to see how this plays out though, especially if it's two player. Wonder if it is.
Oh, no, I don't know.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I don't know. That'll be interesting to find out, though. You know, I'm going to have to keep an eye on that one. And Fire Emblem.
No, I just recently, like I mentioned earlier, played the GBA version, and I am really liking this game. And it's a great mix. You have all these tactical RPGs. They call them RPG simulations in Japan, like Final Fantasy Tactics and this, that, and the other. Well, this one plays a lot more like Advance Wars in the way you move your guys and whatnot, but their story.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, you get, like, your hands on Final Fantasy Tactics, and sure, there's little mini stories to each mission, but there's no real... There is a grand plot, but it's really watered down compared to, like, a real Final Fantasy game.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, was this one is actually a full-on RPG story with this kind of battle system.
Nice, nice. That is going to go over real well.
And it's real interesting because you'll be on the battlefield, and in order to buy new weapons, because your weapons run out, you can only use them so many times before they break. And the same with spells. Every time you buy a new fire book, you can cast fire that many times before it breaks.
Oh, okay.
So the only way you can buy stuff is on the battlefield. You go into armories and stuff.
Oh, wow.
Or there'll be little houses where you can take the time to go out and visit, and they'll give you items sometimes or tips on your enemy or different things like that. And you have a thief that can open up doors and open up chests.
That's sweet.
And different items that increase your stats.
Oh, man, I'm going to go buy this crap for the Game Boy tomorrow. I swear to God. Son of a bitch.
And
then I'm going to pick it up, and I'm going to play it on my new DS, is what's going to happen.
And then you also have things like a sword beats an axe, but an axe beats a lance, and a lance beats a sword, so you have to keep that in mind. You'll have certain swords that reverse the order.
Wow.
And all kinds of crazy stuff, and it's really cool.
That's awesome.
I am really looking forward to this on a console.
Yeah, what drew me in on this game, the only reason I even heard of it, because the art on the Game Boy Advance game box, and I look at the art, and I was just like, wow, this game looks awesome, and I look at the back, and I almost bought this game so many times, and never did it for some reason, but it looks really, really odd, and now I'm tough. I have to own this game.
It is awesome.
That is all there is to it.
I didn't get very far, like I have maybe 5 hours played. And the main storyline thus far, I'm on the last battle. And it feels like it can't be done because I just learned that after you get to level, a character gets to level 10, you can opt to, if you find an item, switch to like an advanced class.
Oh.
And I just learned that on this battlefield.
Oh, yeah, you're
so
yeah,
there's
you're,
no way I'm done.
No, yeah, there's a lot of stuff that's gonna.
Because none of my guys are even 10 yet.
Yeah, if you've only been on, this is like the fifth or sixth map or something.
Tenth map.
Yeah, I meant to say 5 or 6 hours.
Yeah.
There's no way. There's no way. That's, oh my god, damn it. I knew this game was good just based on the freaking box and I never picked it up, and now I'm gonna be looking at it every time I go to the bathroom at work and I'll pass by it and go,
I'll make you feel better they don't have it.
Oh really, you went and looked?
Yeah.
Okay, yeah, but see, I got a pre-order Xenosaga 2.
Yeah, we have to mention that. We haven't mentioned that.
We haven't?
I don't think we have.
Okay, well, we better do it now.
If we haven't mentioned it, I'm sorry if we did, but if you pre-order Xenosaga 2, you get a DVD with every single movie from Xenosaga 1 on it, just the movies. Boom, 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 boom.
So, you gotta go pre-order this.
Yeah.
You have to.
That's slick.
You will pre-order the Xenosaga 2. I'm telling you. Alright, and then the last one that I wanted to mention, that this Killer 7, I've basically been burned out on hearing about it. When it first was announced and all that stuff, I was all excited about it, and then since then I've just been nothing but like disappointed in hearing about it.
Oh really?
Yeah, just because it
looks like it has a lot of style.
Yeah, I guess.
But I'm hoping it's not another 13.
I got burned out on the hype, I think, is what happened. I kept hearing so much stuff, and I'd hear it got canceled, I'd hear it got transferred, and I'd hear this and that and the other thing, and then it was just like, I don't know what to do anymore. I just kind of, just release your goddamn game, you know? Like, I'm getting to that point with StarCraft Ghost. At least I'm not hearing about it.
Yeah.
Killer 7, I heard about a lot. So, but I know the reason I'm not hearing about Killer 7 is because I've got my head so far up EverQuest's ass that, like, I'm blind to everything these days. It really kind of sucks. I need to knock that off, but it's so fun! The other day, I got off work, and a buddy of mine that I work with, really cool guy, he has EverQuest 2 and World of Warcraft, right? And plays World of Warcraft more. He has less time to play, you know, so
I don't understand how he could play 2 at all, but
I don't understand it either. You know, he was a big fan of City of Heroes, and he was kind of torn on the new ones to get. And anyway, he plays, it seems like, World of Warcraft quite a bit more. But I get off work and he was there, and we just start talking about, you know, World of Warcraft. He was talking about World of Warcraft, I was talking about EverQuest, and then like a half an hour later we realized, I mean, like, seriously, like, I was on my way home walking out to the car, and I was just talking with him. We ended up sitting in his car for like a half an hour just talking about how cool it is to play these MMORPGs and how much fun, you know, they are, and all the crazy shit that our characters have been doing. And it's just like, these games are nuts, you know? I mean, this is a lot for games today, single player, games to compete with. Mm. You know, this is hefty. If you're a fan of RPGs, how are you not able to play one of these?
Well, I will say...
This is a huge discussion, I'm sure, for one day.
I will say, in my opinion, there needs to be a very drastic change in something for MMORPGs to continue as a genre.
Yeah, yeah, we can't have more of this crap again.
Because all things considered, even though there's been a couple really good changes, like Final Fantasy brought in the weapon skills... I mean, not the weapon skills, but well, the weapon skills. But
yeah,
I meant
the skill chain as a whole. Yeah,
That was a very good thing for the genre, but there needs to be some serious changes. I don't really know what those are.
Yeah, but hopefully we'll figure it out soon. Somebody will.
But it's essentially more of the same.
Yeah, you're right. They are. They really are. World of Warcraft is actually a step in the right direction, I think. Though EverQuest was really more of the same, but at least. It was fun for me this time around. I didn't like it the first time around at all. So, however, I did have the chance to watch some movies this week. Mm-hmm. Finally got caught up on Troy. Because...
I liked that movie.
I was floored.
I didn't think I was going to, but it was well done.
What I don't like is how everybody gets it confused with Alexander. Everybody I know goes, oh my god, you're watching Troy, that's a 3-hour gay joke. No, no, no. You guys are talking about Alexander, which I actually haven't seen yet.
But I don't either.
I don't think I want to.
But I've heard nothing but bad things.
Yeah, so. Me too. It sounds terrible. So, but anyway, Troy. This was a force to be reckoned with. This movie, I thought it was gonna be kinda mediocre, you know, I don't know. And all in all, it was a fantastic movie, but my one complaint is like, something they couldn't have adjusted, because the story is simply of that siege and that fight, but the scene never changes in the movie. The whole movie was shot in front of the walls of Troy, you know?
Yeah.
And I just got so tired of seeing that same scene, you know? It was like, oh, breath of fresh air, but they'd go to the beach, which is right behind them, but at least it's not right at the wall, you know? And then they would go into the, they were in Troy once or twice, and that was nice, you know? That was a nice change of pace, you know? It wasn't right out in front of the wall. You know, and the best scene change we had for a while, too, was above the wall, where the king sat. You know, you'd see some scenery right up there. It got a little bland, I guess, for me. Because it wasn't bad, though. It didn't ruin it, but I just kept thinking there should have been some other cool stuff going on.
Well,
or a location. But unfortunately,
I couldn't see that complaint, but yeah, it's
well,
what
would
about.
They do? Make shit up out of thin air completely? Well, bored completely? You know, but they did a good job, though.
Yeah.
You know, and that scene you talked about before,
Achilles
that's and
right when I was hooked. In the very beginning, you have Agamemnon's army and then some generic Greek king's army, and they're sitting there, and Agamemnon comes up and he goes, well, we can stop this right now. You send out your best and we'll send out our best, and whoever wins will win the war. And so he gets Achilles to come out, and the guy he's going to fight is huge.
Battle scarred and everything. Yeah, the guy's all tore up, looks like he's been in a million fights. Bald, he looks mean.
Yeah, he does. And then you got little, what's his name? I can't even think of it.
Brad Pitt. Playing Achilles.
Right. And he doesn't look like he's weak or anything, but he's just this little guy compared. And he runs up and then just sticks the sword right into the shoulder.
It was badass though, because he had two spears with him, remember? He chucks the spear, and it's moving fast enough that Achilles blocks it with a shield, and goes through the shield.
Yeah.
Throws the shield down. He's charging at the guy. The guy screams again, tosses another one, and Achilles is real fast. He's all about, you know, the fast and the nice-looking, like, nice flowing, I think, is the best way to put it, combat, you know? Real agile. Dodges another one. Whew! Gets up on him. Gets up to the side of him, though, and, like, jumps, lunges in the air, and he gets pretty high, though, you know? Just slips the knife in, like, right between, like, his head and his like right about in the middle of his neck, just above his shoulder.
And the way they slow down the act, the frames just a little bit, and then, like, make it all quiet, and it just slip!
Yeah, that was...
And he falls over dead. Brad Pitt did a really good job about how he moves in this
He
in
really
this
did. He really had some good...
It has some real style. It makes you feel that this warrior is something different.
Yeah, exactly. Now, I hated to have to compare it to Gladiator so much. But Gladiator is top of my list for that kind of stuff.
Right.
And I didn't feel that it beat Gladiator. Gladiator maybe because it had a more scenes, and it felt like the story really, I don't know. Gladiator just felt like they did a better job. It really did. The way they did combat in Gladiator, I liked a lot too. Cause I have issues with, like, look at Braveheart. I see a lot of people comparing this to Braveheart. And I don't like the way that Braveheart did combat. I hate movies where it's just, here's a few thousand people on a battlefield, and the camera just swings in through the fight, and you just see random people stumbling around and stabbed, and the occasional blood, maybe an arm chopped off somewhere. I don't like that so much.
For the length of the movie and the fact that it was about a siege of a town like that,
they did a good job, though.
Not all that many big, huge battle.
Yeah, and so it didn't suck. And the big battles they did have, though, it was short enough that, like, and they didn't focus on the random sword slashing. Like, you know, I remember the fight starts, and then they go to the archers. You know, so now you're watching the archers mowing people down, which was a neat angle. It was a different angle to see, you know, rather than just down on the battlefield seeing people screaming and, you know, random, you know, soldier X gets killed, you know?
Right.
And then it would show Achilles and his dudes up on the hillside watching the battle, talking about what fools they, you know, you gotta move your army back, you know, but there's nobody there to hear him, but he's, you know, directing it in his head, you know? And then it would come down to the big fight with Hector and that big old burly dude with the maul.
Oh,
you know,
yeah.
Like in the very first, like, part of the siege, I think it was the first fight, you know, they had that part there. And then you had the part with, what's his name? Hector's little brother, the prince, the little guy, whatever his name is, the guy that
Helen, had fault for all this.
You know, yeah, the retard, and I don't even like that actor, that guy, I don't know what, something about him, kind of just, I don't know.
Legolas and,
that's why I don't like him. That's what it is. But, that fight with him and the king, you know, it was a good way to show the fight, I think. You know, you saw the huge armies on the sides and everything, and you see this fight between these two warriors out there, and they did a good job filming that, but good.
Oh, I was just gonna say, but, in the past, it's been really good to have the swinging around, and the confusion of battle, and it, but it has been played out quite a bit.
Yeah, that's what I think, it's just gotten on my nerves, because I can't tell what's going on, and just
but
not
it
my
gives
head.
You the feeling of what the battle's supposed to be. Just confusion and
I play enough video games in my day that I have a pretty good feel for what it's like, and I don't need to see it on a movie either, you know. I need to see some heroics. That's what's missing from a lot of them is, like, heroics, you know. Mm-hmm. But they did a good job in this where they would still have the commotion going on, yet, Hector would take on some badass, and they would show that, while in the background you still have the crazy shit.
There's something to focus on.
You know, exactly. Yeah, something worthy to focus on, though. Not just, you know, more dudes or whatever. Two random dudes, even, you know. Like in King Arthur, you know, that was a good way to show that one, too. There was a little bit too much of the show on the random, you know, people and all that, but then it did come down to where it was, you know, the really cool people doing their awesome shit, you know. So they did a really good job of that, and that movie was actually really good. I liked it. I really liked that a lot. But this one, better than King Arthur. Quite better than King Arthur, because not at one point ever was I like, eh, you know? If, you know, what did I say King Arthur was? I think a 4 for average people, but I would say I'd pay $6 for it.
Right.
And if Gladiator to me is like as close as it can get to an $8 movie, Troy is like $7.50. If only for the scenery.
I think I would give Troy a 7. I knocked down a full dollar because it's a little long. And I think part of that might be the scenery issue.
Mm-hmm.
But I felt that it could probably be a little shorter.
I didn't find an issue with the length. I watched it 3 times in 2 days. I'm loving it. This movie's awesome. It's really cool. And I would really, absolutely, highly recommend this to anybody. The way that they, I mean, it's not all about combat, you know, it's a, you know, whole love story anyway, you know, he takes Helen over, you know, and blah, 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 now the king wants his fucking queen back and blah, 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 and, you know, this whole war goes on, then you get Achilles in there, and he's just the biggest badass, and he's been pulled out to fight, and doesn't really want to be there, and has an interesting outlook on things, and it is a hell of a movie. It really is.
I agree wholeheartedly.
I was blown away. Now, we also saw, I don't know how much attention you paid to this, but I watched it 3 times too. Cellular.
I paid pretty close attention.
Okay. I didn't know what to think of this. I thought it was going to be a pretty bad movie. So I went in expecting kind of crap, but I wanted to watch it anyway. You know, it was a new movie, and I like watching movies, so I had to get it. And this has got, what's that chick's name? Wasn't she Catwoman or something? No.
What's this? She's a little old for Catwoman.
She's old.
Also white.
She's all, no, not in the recent one.
Oh.
It wasn't the original Batman movie. Who was that?
That might have been her.
I really have no idea. No, that was Michelle Pfeiffer. This is Kim Basinger, right?
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Look at that. Look at that brain power. Holy crap. That was amazing. All right. Now, anyway. So this is which one of the two, though?
Kim Basinger, I think.
Okay. I can't stand this chick. I don't like her. And she's creepy. Because she needs to look older than she does. Mm. She needs to look her age, but she looks plastic. She looks freaky.
She probably is plastic.
I'm sure she is. And there was one scene where you could really tell, because, you know, her face doesn't move, because all the collagen. And there's one scene, though, where she grabs the phone, but her hands are all wrinkled and old. And I was just like, oh! You couldn't have grabbed a younger actress for this, or just let her be old, you know, or something, or her own age, you know? Mm-hmm. I'm trying to look so damn young. Anyway, this is the movie about, basically, she gets kidnapped. Okay, and she's just a housewife. She's a school teacher. Okay, for the school, for her son goes to the same school, as a matter of fact, and her husband is a real estate agent. A very normal group, you know, very normal family. Mm-hmm. Nothing special at all about them. Until, you know, the movie starts out and she's coming home from school, you know, work or whatever with her son or whatever, and people break into the house and kidnap her. And they lock her in, oh no, her son's at school, so she must have just got home, I guess. Mm. And her son is at school, they kill the housekeeper, they take her away, they kidnap her, they throw her in an attic in some house somewhere. And there happens to be, this telephone that's shattered. It's in pieces around this, you know, in this attic. And through her wizardry, because she's a genius, is able to put the phone back together well enough that she can use it and dial by just kind of tapping wires together, right?
Right.
So
only because it's analog.
Yes. She winds up getting a hold of, is this guy a real known, well-known actor?
I didn't recognize him.
I didn't either. I've never seen this guy before in my life. But
Some dude,
yes. Some dude, some like 20-year-old surfer or something, because the movie shows him, you know, he's a very average guy. You know, it really plays him out also to be just this average dude. Who's hanging out at the beach.
As well as someone who is very self-centered and doesn't really care about a whole
lot. Yeah, I mean, he's busy trying to, you know, he's chasing some hot girl around the beach, you know, when they introduce it, you know? He's out there trying to, you know, have a good time, hang out with his buddies and, you know, whatever. And she ends up getting him on the phone. So he answers his phone and he doesn't believe her, of course. You know, she's going, I've been kidnapped, help me, blah, blah, blah. And the whole movie is basically him trying to track down who she is. I mean, he tries everything, going to the police department, you know, he tries, you know, I mean, to go get her husband, you know, get her kid, you know, to get all this stuff together. And I was surprised that they actually pulled it off rather well.
Yeah, I found this movie very uninspiring. Just kind of so-so, and I mean, it was entertaining. There's a lot of real good action. But it was very common, I guess, is the word I'm
mm-hmm,
looking for.
Mm-hmm. It was. What I liked about it was it was very, oh no, here's another, you know, kidnapper movie, you know, where somebody goes to save them and then dumb shit happens, you know, like they could just go to the cops and then go from there. Of course, in none of these movies that happens, because some reason the cops don't believe them, or the cop gets killed right off the bat, you know, or something stupid like that. You know, there's something that's going to prevent the logical path from happening, which is what makes it, I guess, a movie anyway.
Right.
You know, and of course, using the cell phone, the guy's trapped on the cell phone with this chick the whole time. And what makes this movie is funny little cell phone, you know, it's funny little modern day technological snafus. Mm. You know, like he's driving, talking to her, and he'll come to a tunnel, and he's like, oh fuck, I can't go into the tunnels, like, you know, and I can't get you disconnected. The battery goes dead at one point, you know, I mean, it's just kind of like, ah, you know, that's a shame. And I thought, but to me that was a good thing, because at least it felt like, well, this is at least a new set of dumb shit that happens to somebody based on something in what I like to call a little thing called reality. This is today, you know, 10 years ago is not reality anymore. 10 years ago was 10 years ago using technology that was old. We had microwaves that were nuclear power plants. You know, it was different back then. You know, you had the cell phone that was like giant.
Right.
You know, you don't have that now. You have all this new technology. The guy was using his video recording capabilities of his phone at one point. You know, the guy was using, you know, he was spying on the girl, of course, you know, while he was doing it. But, you know, you got to use all that stuff. And I thought it was really neat. I thought it was pretty good.
part of my problem is we watch Troy and this in one day, and it kind of pales.
Yeah, that's true.
It had its moments. I mean, it's definitely worth your time. I think this is most definitely a rental, but it just was nothing special.
Yeah, it did feel very average, and one of the things that detracted from the whole urgency and scare factor, really, was the jokes. There was a lot of comedy in this for what was supposed to be a suspense thriller kidnapper, you know, drama.
Some of it worked pretty well.
Some of it was great. But unfortunately, it didn't flow. They should have made two separate movies, you know. They should have made a comedy thing, you know, with the Wayans brothers or something. And then this one with Kim Basinger and, oh, that dude. Handsome Rob.
Oh, yeah.
The guy from...
Transporter.
Yeah, the Transporter. Yeah, that guy. He was one of the kidnapper dudes in it, right?
Yeah.
And then the real funny cop guy. He's in a lot of stuff, too, but I don't remember his name. But, yeah, he's a pretty good actor, though. He's pretty funny. But whatever his name is. But, I mean, it wasn't a terrible movie, but I see very few people buying this movie for some reason.
Yeah.
Just because they took in all the jokes or taken out most of the seriousness. It just seemed like, you know, figure something out. But it was worth watching to me.
Oh, most definitely.
So.
It was worth the time.
Out of $8, I would probably say that this is going to go. Now, 4 being your average movie that you would go see and enjoy it, you know, this is probably like a 4.50.
I'd say this was matinee worthy. Yeah.
Yeah. It wasn't terrible. I enjoyed myself, you know. But it wasn't.
And it was that's part of the problem.
Yeah.
We saw a really good movie and then an average movie, and it's gonna pale a little bit.
Yeah.
But it was also an hour and a half long Nokia commercial.
Did they really have the Nokia logo on there?
Oh yeah.
All
over the place.
I thought I looked, and I was waiting for Nokia this, Nokia that, and I don't remember seeing it.
All you have to do is look at the credits when they have the. Yeah, the way they can roll the credits is the
the guy's looking at his cell phone.
Right, and they're in the cell phone screen, but Nokia's right there up top.
Was it?
Yeah.
I could have sworn.
Plus, you got at least the one time where it's the standard Nokia ring.
Oh, yeah. That's right, yeah. No, we heard that a lot, though, throughout that movie. That's right, we did. But not a bad movie, not terrible. No. I mean, you know, I guess if you're looking for something to do and there's nothing else to rent, you may as well pick that up.
It is worth watching.
It's not terrible, yeah. Well, that wraps it up for this week, and we'll be back next week, hopefully with more good stuff from Nintendo, too. I like talking about Nintendo games, and
definitely.
I feel like we're neglecting the PC a little bit, too, but I haven't seen much good stuff on the PC.
Industry's neglecting the PC a little bit.
That is true. All right.
No, there's some good stuff, but
there is.
Not
there
enough.
Is. Yes, there can always be more. I'm actually almost kind of thankful, because right now, it's brutal. It's all about EverQuest right now, and it's killing me. Okay, so we'll see you next week.